Tonight on TMS PM, the hand was there the whole time.
Bruce Jenner transitioning.
Baz Luhrmann is doing something. I can't talk. Baz Luhrmann is doing some Netflix business.
Tofu with worms.
There, you did it. Get your baby to Mars.
Hap time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of the Morning Stream PM.
This is the Morning Stream PM. Because it's always morning somewhere, PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the PM edition, the Thursday episode that you got extra, because you were part of the Patreon daily whacker there.
You demanded it.
Yeah, they did. Well, did they? I guess they did.
Sure.
In a way.
They did demand it. They demanded it with their money.
Yeah, you guys demanded it. We are here to deliver on your demands. We caved. We said, yeah, they want it this bad. We'll just do it for them because they paid for it. Why not? And you guys are awesome. So if you have not yet supported it and you're getting this little thing for free, consider doing so over at patreon.com/TMS. What a day. What a life. What a world.
Oh, really?
Well.
Ooh, do tell.
You know how just days ago here on the Morning Stream proper, I had suggested that maybe MASH should make its way to Netflix at some point.
Oh, right, yeah.
What's the holdup, I said? What's taking so long? Who has the rights? Why is this bound up in all sorts of legal mumbo-jumbo red tape or whatever, is what I said.
Right.
Well, today, I open Netflix, and to my beholding...
Delight?
Plastered across the front banner is MASH.
Wow.
On Netflix, season 1-5. They'll add more as they go, I guess. I assume. I don't know. I don't know what that means to only have the first five up.
Jumping junipers.
Yeah, in fact, I don't even know by five do we even get to Potter yet. I don't know if we do. I'm trying to think. Season 3. When did Henry go the way of the quiet radar moment?
End of the third season.
Was it? Okay. You might be right on that. That sounds familiar.
That's a tough one because those, you know, it's funny. It's like, it's almost like a Wheel of Fortune when you tune in to watch a syndicated episode of MASH. I'm sure they show them in order, but it didn't feel like it when I was a kid.
No, they didn't. They never did. Like one episode, it would be like, oh, Frank and Henry can't find where his desk went. And then episode later, it's not only Honeycutt, but he's got a mustache. And it's like, whoa, that's way later. Because at first, he didn't even have the mustache.
Right.
Yeah.
There were 11 seasons of MASH.
Yeah, it was long. I mean, you know, not that long, but to us as kids, that seemed like forever. Because most shows go about 10 or 11 now if they're successful.
Right.
But
Colonel Sherman Potter.
She said.
Uh-huh. That's the one right there.
Yeah.
Was on the show from 1974 to 1983. And the first season was 1972. So, yeah. So it seems like...
But in 72, was that his role as that weird crazy colonel that had nothing to do with Potter? Or was it later when he had the full role of Colonel Potter? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Because he came on as some psycho Section 8 crazy person that was just visiting as like a one-off deal. And then he went away and then later came back as full Potter.
gave us the full Potter.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it was a different character, obviously, but it was very, very strange.
All right, well, McLean Stevenson was...
Yeah, when did he bow out?
He was on the show from 1972 to 1978.
Oh.
Well, yeah,
then it had to have been 78 when Potter came. Because we didn't have him as Colonel till then.
Right.
So I don't know why they got that date wrong.
So like five seasons, six seasons?
Yeah, something like that. So I'll bet this whole five seasons, on Netflix ends with the cliffhanger of Radar going... and goes away.
Well, that wasn't really a cliffhanger. It would have been a cliffhanger if he said, we don't know what happened to Colonel Blake. Yep. We don't know.
That's a good point. He did.
And then the show opens the next season. Oh, he's dead, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, good point. McLean Stevenson is dead also. So is half that cast. But many of them are still alive. But here's the thing I noticed. Okay.
Yep.
I fired it up. I just thought, you know what? Background sound. MASH is a good thing for that. I've seen them all a million times. No need for me to... Give it my full focus. Let's just have it going on. So I started it up. The very first one, it doesn't start right into the... It does that later. It starts out with them all running around doing stuff. Somebody's talking to Spear Chucker. He was the black guy, Brian. Right, they called him Spear Chucker.
I know.
Holy crap. Anyway, that was going on. I forgot
about
that. How
did that seem right then?
I don't even know. Even in like 72, like, I know I was only 2 years old, but geez, give me a break. Right. So then Radar's out there throwing a football with somebody. And they throw it to Radar, and he turns around and does his now signature move, which is pauses, can hear the helicopters before anybody else, and then says, casualties incoming, right? And that's when the poop hits the fan. When he catches the ball, though, because remember, the big rumor slash thing you could catch on the show was occasionally you'd see Radar holding his clipboard funny because he had a weird hand, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it was rare that you ever saw any indication of it, and anytime he ever showed Radar doing anything, he always had something in that hand so it didn't show it off. In this very first pilot, he's got it out in the open, and he's holding the football and kind of gripping around the football with it, and you get to see the deformed hand, like,
oh,
in
really?
Full glory in the pilot.
Oh. Wow.
I'm blown away. I don't even know what to say to myself. Like, for years, I thought that was like, oh, the hidden thing. Gary Berghoff would hide it that the whole time.
Right.
Not now.
You might get a cat. You might see it, or maybe they always filmed it. By the way, yeah, it was the end of season 3 that Henry died, the episode Abyssinia Henry.
Okay.
And that's when we lost both Trapper John and Henry Blake.
Because Trapper John got stomach ulcers and went home, which...
What was the deal with that?
Something like that. It was some kind of weird, like... I mean, we never got to see it, because wasn't it some kind of weird left the show in a huff deal and couldn't get the contract right, so he just suddenly wasn't on, and then they had to explain it, and Hawkeye spent all day looking for him.
I think it was, you know, he didn't get the going away thing like Henry Blake did.
Yeah, yeah, like his...
Oh, wow, PM the Void, or Empty the Void, actually found the freeze frame of the shot of which you speak.
Sweet! Hold on. Yep, that's it.
That looks like how I used to draw hands when I was a kid.
That's exactly it. I saw this scene just now before the show, and I was blown away because I don't remember this ever being shown in the history of the show.
Right.
So that weirded me out. Nice job. Way to be on the quick on the tip there,
Ian. It looks like they never explained what happened to Trapper John. They just, Captain BJ Honeycutt showed up, and Colonel Potter showed up beginning of season 4, and they just said, okay.
Well, remember when he went to go get Honeycutt to get BJ... Mm-hmm. When he went to go pick up a BJ down at the elevator. Yeah, what do I say? Elevator. Tokyo, yeah. He picks him up. And then things got real serious because as they're driving along, boom, some truck gets blown up. They go out to check it. One of these dudes is really badly hammered. And so Honeycutt goes off into the corner and yaks in the bushes for about 5 minutes. Do you remember that?
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, it was right off the plane, like... All right, well, I'm going to take you back to the MASH unit. Boom. Oh, my God. Look at this guy. His arm's falling off.
Yeah, and then he starts hurling it. And when he did that, I was really young when I saw that. That really kind of scarred me for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, that's, you know, this grown dude. They were just laughing. There was just a laugh track 5 minutes ago.
Right.
And now he's hurling in the weeds. And Hawkeye's comforting him. And it felt so doomy. Like, now he's in the war. And it's this bad, and there ain't shite you can do about it. Mm-hmm. Like, just real downer. And I remember as a kid, you know, you're susceptible to this stuff when you're a kid. You see that, and it kind of impacts you, you know?
That's right. Because the whole thing was they get shot at by snipers and shoots the tire of the car, and they have to hide behind it, and then they go and they find the casualties.
Yeah, and they lift the guy over, and his whole, like, front is removed. And he says, okay, well, we can't save him. And then Hancock, well, we got to try. And he flips him over and looks at it and just goes, oh, that's it.
BJ turns the man's body upright, but is horrified by what he sees, stumbles away and vomits.
There you go. And it's really overacty vomit, like real heavy.
Well, that's because it was in the day when they couldn't show vomit.
Right, exactly. So it just had to look like he was convulsing over there.
It's a very different time. It was. Nowadays, the vomit is the actor.
Yeah. And here's the other thing I noticed. Very first operating scene. Okay. They're all in the operating room. And that's where they don't have the laugh track, right? Out of respect or whatever. And the very first comment out of Hawkeye's voice is, nurse, if you could please move your B cups to the left a little bit. I can't see the patient or something. That show is so sexist. Like, you got Spear
Chucker. Sexist, racist.
Yeah. Spear checker, wow. That you got a guy doing a horrible Chinese accent. Like it was interesting. Right. So I'm all back in, man. That'll be my background noise while I get work done.
I'm trying to remember how they dealt with
all excited
homosexuality on MASH. I mean, I know that Klinger wasn't gay.
Nope.
But boy, they sure. I mean, that was a source of a lot of jokes, right?
Yeah, they laughed hard at his cross-dressing. Sure.
Are you lighting your loafers, son? You know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I want to say that there was like a special episode.
Did they? I can't wait to get to it.
Where, right, there's a soldier who, you know, who comes out basically.
Yeah. And maybe has a heart-to-heart right with Father Mulcahy or something.
Yes. The episode is George.
Great.
And,
that's what I want.
Let's see. Among the latest batch of wounded soldiers treated the 477th is a young soldier, Private George Weston, who is also heavily bruised and dished a leg wound. They find out that he's been beaten up by other soldiers in his group for being homosexual.
Being gay. All right. Well, let's see how they handle it. Also, Father Mulcahy, played by a very different actor in the beginnings. Totally not him.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought it was the same guy.
Nope. Totally weird. Like he won in the first episode, he won the raffle ticket to go to Tokyo with a nurse.
Yeah.
And he turns around to find out he won, and it's a totally different actor. It's a different dude.
But it was the guy, but the guy who was in the movie was the same guy who then appeared on the show,
that's a great question.
Because I thought that he and Gary Berghoff were the only guys. William Christopher.
Yeah, William Christopher is not Mulcahy in the pilot. He is thereafter, but he was also in the movie. You're right.
Right.
Here it is.
I think I'm looking. No, maybe not. I take that back. I thought
he wasn't in the movie. Maybe this original guy was or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Know. Huh? I don't freaking know. Let's see. Gary Berghoff, Loretta Swit, Clayne Stevenson.
He was in Aftermath, though.
Yes, he was. Oh, lasted my gosh.
30 episodes.
I would watch that for laughs because it's bad.
It was really bad.
Really, really bad. All right. Anyway, MASH on Netflix. Everybody go check it out. Brian, there's something on the notes here that says, my other wife. I cannot freaking wait to hear what this is.
Well, it's fairly innocuous, but tomorrow is the birthday of my other wife, Tina.
Oh.
See, you're my podcasting wife.
Oh. Now I get it.
So tomorrow is Tina's birthday, so I'm going to wish her a happy birthday on air here.
Oh. It's adorable. She doesn't look an age, a day over whatever age she was 5 years ago.
She doesn't. No, yeah. She
looks great.
She always looks great.
Yeah, yep. She's awesome. And she is clearly your better half.
She puts up with so much crap.
She score keeps like nobody I've ever sat next to in my life. And she's awesome. Right. So happy
Somebody's
birthday.
Somebody's got to keep you guys in line up on stage with Dills and Patrick arguing over who's more American. And
oh, those guys, dude.
And Veronica
real.
Complaining about the double clicks getting to play together and Tom being all smart.
Yeah, just answering questions like a boss, that guy.
Really, really.
Yeah, there's your Patrick right there.
There you go.
All right, well, good news for her and happy birthday to her. That's awesome.
Yes.
Let's dive into some news here.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Why, it's the evening news brought to you by
Cheese balls.
Oh, I could go for some of those right now.
Sure.
Transgender. Speaking of Klinger, he wasn't transgender though. He was just he was just trying to get out of the army.
He was doing. He was just in drag to get a Section 8.
Yeah, that was his whole thing.
Not even gay.
It wasn't even like a gendery thing. It was I'm so crazy. I'm wearing lady clothes.
That's right. And then he married Keiko.
I might be a lady. Oh, that's right. He did marry Keiko.
Right.
Forgot. I keep forgetting that was her. And until we talk about Star Trek, then I remember, no problem. Anyway, transgender TV personality says that Bruce Jenner?
I do know Bruce Jenner. Olympic runner Bruce Jenner.
Mm-hmm, considered to be one of the great athletes of our time. Yep. Is apparently, according to a bunch of people who say they know, is transitioning to be a woman.
Yes. I think this has been confirmed, hasn't it?
Has it? Did he come out and say something? Because I haven't been able to get a follow-up on this. Maybe I just missed it. But it does say here.
It was on the front of People magazine in the store earlier today, and I could have sworn that I'd seen that it's confirmed.
Former man and now woman, somebody named Zoe Turr, who has gone through the transition themselves, used to be a pilot or something. Oh, he's when he was known as Bob Turr, He was the news helicopter pilot made famous for tracking O.J. Simpson's 1994 Bronco chase, but is now a woman, and she knows what it's like to transition male to female in the public eye. Quote, I'm not trying to out Bruce Jenner, but it's apparent. It's not a secret, and it's not a secret in my community. Bruce Jenner is transitioned, meaning it's done. He is over the hump. He's in here with us.
Wow. So, formally transitioning.
Yeah, I guess
now so. Transitioned.
Now transitioned. I haven't heard. I mean, that seems a little smarmy for this Zoe person to out him and not let him do it. But
right,
we started watching Transparent.
Oh yeah, how was that?
First episode. Jeffrey
Tambor?
Yeah, two episodes in. It is, like people have said, absolutely not what you expect it to be. It is really good, first of all. Mm-hmm. It is a lot like Parenthood in some ways. And the funny thing is, and I think this is on purpose, but it's, you know, you're meant to take all of your systems of belief or the way you were brought up or your biases or whatever, and you're supposed to apply those to Jeffrey Tambor and go, oh, weird, he wants to be a woman, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens instead is he is the most likable, root-for person on the show, and his kids are buttholes.
Oh, really?
And they're all living, quote-unquote, normal lives in the eyes of society, right? They're not transitioning or having gender identity issues or any of that. They're just going on about their business being dicks. Like, they're just kind of dicks. And it's fascinatingly portrayed. I really like it. We're only two in.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we're only two in, but it's very interesting so far.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about the Wachowski brothers, mm-hmm. or the Wachowski siblings today, directors of The Matrix. Mm-hmm. And was it Larry? Is now Lana.
Larry is Lana. The other guy still looks like a bouncer to me. He's still there. He's still doing what he does. How's that movie doing? There's more reviews in. Hold on.
Oh, really? The Jupiter Ascending?
Yeah. Thing? I really want that to be good.
I'm trying to remember what the big epic that they did before with Halle Berry and Tom Hanks.
Oh, not Life of Pi. It's based on that
exactly.
book.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly the name that's coming to me is nothing.
Yeah. I think of it. Anyway, Jupiter Ascending. Here it is. Let me see. Oh, 27%. That's down a few percent than this morning. That's too bad. Hold on. Wachowski.
Cloud Atlas. Thank you.
Cloud Atlas. That's it. Let's just look and see how that thing did. Cloud Atlas enjoyed
probably about a 40%.
Cloud Atlas, 66, not bad.
Oh, not bad at all. Yeah, I actually enjoyed it.
I didn't see it. I want to see it.
Liked it a lot better than The Tree of Life.
Side by Side, which Andy Wachowski directed, was small film. It has his highest score ever, 92%. I don't know what that is.
Oh, wow.
Then there was Ninja Assassin, Speed Racer. V for Vendetta was pretty rad, but he was just a producer.
About Speed Racer.
Yeah.
Forgot that was theirs.
Let's see. I'm just going to quickly look and see what Side by Side is. Now I'm going down a rabbit hole, but that's okay. Come with us, folks. Come with us down this rabbit hole. Here we go. Oh, this is a documentary. Oh, I saw this. Duh. It is good. No, it's a documentary about directors and the evolution of film technology. And Keanu Reeves hosts it. It's really good. Yeah, I recommend it. I think I recommended it before. It was a while ago, though. Now I remember. Anyway, hey, look at this. Baz Luhrmann. You know Baz Luhrmann?
I do. He tells you to wear sunscreen.
Does he do that? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, did like a PSA kind of thing?
He did a... Oh, my gosh. Have you forgotten the...
I don't remember this.
It was the speech he gave that they set to music.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's it right there.
Class of 99.
All right.
Wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future.
This is him.
Sunscreen would be it. Okay. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by...
Hold on a second. He got up in front of a graduating class, Baz Luhrmann, and said this?
Yes.
Oh, this is amazing. Well, I don't remember this at all, though.
Yeah, jump ahead, and I think you get the music background.
Okay.
Scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience.
I thought he was Australian.
I will dispense this advice now.
There we go.
Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now.
So wait a minute. Was the music playing while he did it, or was this done later?
No, they added that after. It was like what they did to Suzanne Vega's Tom's Diner.
they kind of
where they just had the...
This is basically Baz Luhrmann rapping is what it ends up sounding like. Yeah. I didn't know I thought he was Australian. Everything I thought was true is a lie. It's amazing.
That's funny because I thought he was Australian too.
9.5 million people have seen this video. I was not one of them. I feel left out. All right. Well, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I had no idea.
My pleasure. You'll have to enjoy the whole thing when we're all done here.
I will. Like a nice bran muffin. Baz Luhrmann is going to direct something for Netflix. It seems all the rage. Everybody wants to do a Netflix project these days, which I think is a real boon to streaming, obviously, and Netflix is killing it right now.
Yeah.
Do you remember that brief moment where everyone thought they were going to suck forever because they were going to do that video game rental thing, and then they changed their minds like 2 days later,
yeah.
and everyone thought they were crazy?
About that.
Yeah. Everyone thought they were losing their minds.
Right.
And couldn't understand what they were doing, and they were so flip-floppy and mm-hmm. you know, shareholders, I don't know if they're public, but I know
we
people.
Probably at that time, because we were doing TMS at that time and talked about it, mm-hmm. at that point we probably did say, well, we're probably witnessing the end of Netflix as we know it.
Yeah, I kind of remember feeling that way. Like they were, I don't know, like there was a descent to madness happening, and then they got their poop straight, and now it's just a jugger freaking knot.
Right.
Anyway. He's making.
If you would have told me, hey, you're going to be watching some original Marvel programming.
Yeah, 10 episodes of a Daredevil show. Right. You would have said I was a liar and kicked me in the testicles hard. here, I'm going to drink this. That's some good water for the next sentence.
Oh, okay.
Baz Luhrmann to direct 70s hip-hop drama The Get Down for Netflix. It's a chaotic decadence of New York in the 70s, which will be the canvas for The Get Down. It's a new drama, so it's a show. The 13-episode series, so far uncast and scheduled to debut next year, will focus on young artists from the South Bronx and will also incorporate the downtown punk movement, Studio 54, and the Soho art scene and other cultural outliers that were in New York at the time. It'll be produced by Sony Pictures Television and directed by Baz Luhrmann, whose previous work includes Romeo and Juliet and The Great Gatsby, which I still haven't seen. His version of that. Is that good?
Oh, it's good, yeah.
Is that the Leo DiCaprio one?
Still old sport, yeah. Tobey Maguire and...
Oh, that's the other one then. Oh, no, it is. Right. It is the one with Leo.
It's one with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire and...
All right.
Yeah,
and then the Australia one, we don't count that one, right? We don't think
Why don't we count that one?
I don't know, because it wasn't very good.
I liked it. It was epic.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm using epic in the... Not in the, you know, overused surfer terminology, but it is a... It is a long, beautiful, scenic movie that...
I know that one. That's
the one where Nicole Kidman sings Over the Rainbow.
All right. So when Wolverine fights Samantha Stevens for dominance in the country of Australia.
That's right. Yes. Mm. Samantha Stevens. Where you go.
She used magic.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything else. What else has she done that's magical and cool that could fight a superhero? I couldn't think of anything.
Well, she was,
anything like
which Batman
love
was she? She was, not Vicky Vale.
No, but she was in the one with
Clooney, right?
No, the one before that.
Oh, the Kilmer?
Kilmer one. I want to say that's right. Someone look up Batman Forever. Confirm this. Yeah. Pretty sure. Anyway. That's awesome.
It's rabbit hole central tonight.
I like it. Okay, Batman Forever. I got it right here. I may as well look at that. Val Kilmer, Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Carrey. Who else? Nicole Kidman. There it is. She played Dr. Chase Meriden.
Chase Meriden, yes.
Yep, you're right.
right.
Yeah, Pat Hingle was in that. We like Pat Hingle. Anyway, Drew Barrymore was in that? What? I don't remember that.
Yeah, she was Poison Ivy.
Rene Auberjonois was in that. Odo? What did he do?
Wasn't Drew Barrymore Poison Ivy, or am I thinking of it? No, she was...
She not Poison Ivy. She played somebody named...
Uma was Poison Ivy. She was...
Sugar.
Right. She was... Either Sugar and Spice were the cohorts of the Riddler or something.
Of Two-Face.
Tommy not cohorts, Lee Jones. But like his entourage.
Yeah, his two lady
friends.
Oh,
I've blocked so much of that movie out of my memory.
It's okay. That and that one that came after that, you should block the whole damn thing out. Such a mess, that whole thing. Anyway, this right. sounds interesting. I'm all into this project. I think this sounds like fun. I like that sure. era. So
yeah, it'll be interesting. I like period pieces like that. I don't mm-hmm. think it's been a while since we've had a good 70s era TV show, right? Because Mad Men is starting to edge into that area.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think. Well, now it's done, but yeah, it was starting to. It was dipping into it.
Well, it's not done yet.
I thought the show was over.
No, there's still half a season left.
Oh, I thought they finished. Nope. I'm so behind on that. I'm literally like, see, we finished season two, and that's as far as we ever got. So I'm clearly way behind. So
I thought they were
long done. I forgot about these mid-season break stuff people do.
Or maybe it's even just a full season they still have to do. But yeah, it's...
Are they going to get well into... Are you hoping we get them into the like 70s and he's wearing like old guy makeup and everything?
Oh gosh, you mean for the finales? Yeah. Like, you know, as we see them age?
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Like Don Draper in, you know, bell bottoms and...
Yeah, plaid bell bottoms.
Pullover sweaters.
Sure. And, plaid everything.
Yeah, April 5th, 2015... is part two. It's really funny. The seventh season, part one of the seventh season, started April 13th, 2014, ended in May, 2 months.
Yeah.
And part two of season seven starts in April of this year and ends in May of this year.
Wow. Weird.
If you've got an entire year between the shows, that's another season. Come on, people.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And they do this all the time. Like the mid-season thing for, I want to say Breaking Bad's a little egregious with this too.
Yeah.
Aren't they? With a bunch of time between, make a big fat sandwich out of it. Well, we're having a mid-season break. How long? About a year and a half.
Well, we watched the entire series to catch up during the break between five part one and five part two.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we were not off Breaking Bad fans from the get-go, from its inception. No, we picked up on that late and said, "Ooh, let's get through this."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So good.
We did.
All right. That's it for the news for now.
All right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have app recommendations. We call it app time because I don't have a better name for it. So that's
app
coming.
Time.
Yeah, we think we're going to make that a kind of a regular deal. So I look forward to that, everybody. Cool. Also, your Twitter questions after that. Before all that, though, Brian's brought some kind of music.
I have. How about an email from Cole who says, "Hi, Scott and Brian. It's your friend Cole from Southern California."
We know Cole, the kid. I always call him a kid, but the kid from BlizzCon. He's great.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We love Cole.
Yeah, Cole's great.
It's your friend Cole from Southern California. Yes, it is. It will be my 24th birthday on February 7th. And since that's a Saturday, I thought I'd put in a request for a date around that time. I wanted to hear Anne Berlin's cover of Enjoy the Silence. This song has just recently come back up in my life under some happy circumstances, and I wanted to share it with the TMS audience. Love you guys, and despite the on-air mastication that sometimes makes me shiver, I still love the show, though.
Oh.
That one was right there for him.
All right.
On-air mastication.
Ooh, that was shivering.
We are chronic masticators.
We can't stop.
Anne Berlin's cover of Enjoy the Silence. This my version came from the Punk Goes 90s CD. It's a fun series. Mm. I don't know. There's, you know, it's hit or miss, but there's always at least three or four good songs on them. Came out in 2006, a cover of the Depeche Mode track. Here is Anne Berlin, Enjoy
All
the
right.
Silence.
That sounds good to me. Here it is. Whoops, my mouth went crazy. Here it is. We'll see you guys in a second.
spoken to be broken. Feelings are incense, words are trivial. Pleasure remains, so does the pain. Words are meaningless and forgettable.
Can't argue with that.
No.
That's pretty good. So somebody sent me some links. Apparently nobody liked Gary Berghoff on the set of MASH at all.
What? Really?
He seemed like the most likable dude on the show, but apparently they hated his freaking guts.
Could you imagine Gary Berghoff just turns out to be this big jerk?
Yeah.
Big, like, dickhead,
it
right?
It seems horrible to think of. Also, people didn't like McLean Stevenson or Loretta Swit was supposedly difficult to work with. Mm. Saying that Wayne Rogers and Larry Linville were the most professional and cooperative, wow. But that during the entire run of the series, everyone hated Berghoff.
Really? Hey, quit stepping on my lines. All right, hold on. Come on. Get out of my light. Okay. Say, come on.
Oh, yeah, I'm a nice little guy from Ottumwa, Iowa. Yeah.
Choppers.
He was from the school of acting that was like super method acty, and nobody liked that. They were all just irritated with him all the time. I don't have any proof of this. This is all like Google news groups and things. Sure. But I love going down holes like this. So if anyone else has information about any of that, because Wikipedia is really short on the infighting. Sure. And I don't know why I care. Nobody cares now. These guys are 71 years old.
Who do you think would have been the biggest jerk on the set of that show?
Well, apparently him.
Would have been David Ogden Stiers.
Yeah, if I'd have guessed him, but apparently he's the nicest guy ever.
It seems like he would be. I mean, you know, when you see the things he's done since then, mm-hmm. right? Beauty and the Beast, sure. and all that.
All that,
know?
Disney stuff. He's always been known as being very charitable and just a right. real sweet guy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a real dick on the show.
I mean, he just played he did a great job of acting like a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Berghoff here. Well, anyway, I could read more, but I won't. Okay. Oh yeah, look at this. Burnout, desire to spend more time with his family, return to following your special farewell episodes, Goodbye Radar. Oh, remember Goodbye Radar? I remember that. Because at one point Radar left. I forgot about that.
Oh really?
Yeah, remember he left and Klinger took over as full-time Radar.
That's right. I guess Radar didn't make it to the end of the show, did he?
Yeah. This very special MASH episode of TMS is brought to you by. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's have some fun here.
All right.
I think we should do, before we get to our Twitter questions, let's do a little app thing. And here's our theme.
I smell like beef.
There's your theme.
Perfect.
Smell like beef. Okay. We're going to talk about apps to recommend. And you seem kind of excited about one you've been using. So why don't you start us off? What do you
I did. So to? I'm a sucker for games. And as people know, I've been playing a ton of Trivia Crack lately. There's sort of an unofficial bounty on my head, apparently, in the Tadpool that... anytime somebody beats me, they have to brag about it in the Tadpool. Yes, I'm looking at you, Abby.
Yeah.
And it's all in good fun. I'm kidding. But the thing that's kind of been pulling me away from that is a new game called Shades.
Mm. Oh, Shades. In,
as in the future is so bright. Have you played this?
I have played this. It's mind-blowingly hard for me. And I'll tell you, after you've talked about it, I'll tell you why I think it's hard for me. But it's like Tetris mixed with color recognition. And,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really
cool. So basically, it's the same kind of thing as Tetris, where you've got blocks descending from the ceiling. And if you put them all in a row the right way, then they will, then that line will disappear and everything will move down. Mm-hmm. With Shades, though, basically all of the blocks, it's a single block that descends, and they're all the same color, but they're different shades of the same color.
Mm.
So you'll get a square that's 25% green, mm-hmm. and another square that's 40% green. And basically, you know, if you land a square on top of another square that's the same color, they merge, and they get darker and move kind of to the next darkest shade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once you've got a full row of all of the same shade, they all disappear. But if you get them in there in the wrong order and they're you've got a dark one over a light one, then you're going to need to, you know, clear it up. Mm-hmm. But the trick of the whole thing is that as this thing starts getting faster and faster, which it ramps up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Some of those lighter shades start looking alike. Well, some almost all the shades start looking alike. It's mm-hmm. like, ooh, is that the darkest one? Is that the 80% or is that the 60%?
You're now describing why I'm terrible. I cannot recognize the difference when it gets to be sped up like that.
Yeah.
My eyes play tricks on me. It's not like color blindness, but something happens where it's like, that looked like the dark one to me.
Right.
But it wasn't.
And then it lands on, it's like, oh no, that is a little bit darker than the one that was underneath it. And the other thing that drives me nuts about the game has nothing to do with the game itself. It's the fact that I always look to see what the next color piece is, because that determines, you know, mm-hmm. where I'm going to put the current piece that I'm landing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the Apple notifications covers that up. So like all of a sudden I'll get a little Twitter notification. Oh, Dark Anders just posted in Furt Raid, or Daryl just told us how many Star Trek connections there are in the next film sack movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it covers that thing up. I'm like, no,
because
it's also covering
timing.
Up the space bar, right. Or I mean the pause button.
Right. Well, yes. There needs to be a way to, I don't know how you deal with that.
There might be a way to disable notifications during certain apps, but... Yeah.
Or put that pause bar at the bottom or something.
Right, exactly.
Wow, that's amazing. Also available on Android Play, so if you guys want, do Android folk want to get it, it's available there as well. Highly rated on both stores. Yeah, it's cool. I got it as well. I'm terrible at it. I think I'm probably done with it because it drove me crazy. And I honestly started getting kind of headaches and started to question all the colors around me and whether it was real or not. I'm going to tell you, Brian, about a little game.
Okay.
I also like games. Can I just make one complaint about Trivia Crack?
Sure.
I have the same
questions.
I have a same problem with Trivia Crack as I do with Words with Friends or any of those games. I think people can cheat too easy. Because all it would take for me is to see a question that says, which one of these four choices were in the movie blank during 1942, blah, 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 whatever. And then I go, I don't know. Let me look it up on the Google and see. And then answer it.
You've got a time limit. I mean, you've got like 30 seconds. So granted, they do give you a decent amount of time. And you could probably, you know, Siri on your iPad say, who starred in Boogie Nights?
Right. Dirk Diggler, it'll say. No, right. Not who's the character, who played him?
Yeah. Right.
No, I'm with you that the time limit's important and it's good. But if you're in front of a computer and you grab your phone and you go, all right, what's that question? And quickly Google it on your computer. You've got it in 30 seconds. You got it in 10 seconds.
Yeah, you probably could. I probably could Google stuff.
People I know and trust, like playing you, I would know that's not happening. Playing other people I know that's not happening. But when I play strangers, I don't trust it. And even less do I trust like the Scrabble games, because it's like, they're all cheating.
Can I tell you what my complaint is about Trivia Crack?
Yeah.
Is that if you get a sports question, chances are the answer is Michael Phelps.
What?
Basically, it's like if somebody's got the word Olympics or swimming, then they've written a question where the answer is Michael Phelps. It's like people don't know how to write questions about something other than Michael Phelps in that game. Or what's another one that seems to always come up? Oh, neon in science. Neon, which gas is a noble gas? Is it neon? Oh, hey, which of these is a noble gas? Must be neon.
Yep.
There's things that certain things that come up fairly often. Plus, There's the other big complaint of mine is that the question writing, a lot of people give away the answer in the answers, right? It's right. Like they'll have one answer spelled correctly and then three things spelled wrong. And you're like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah, it's like
probably
cheating.
The one that's spelled right.
It's like that Pictionary game that came out. Everybody was just writing the name.
Right. Oh, like, yes, well, right. All right, draw something. Yeah, yes.
What is the point of that? I hated that.
I forgot about that.
These games are, it's just hard if nobody's playing by the honor system and who, you know, and you can't control that. So it drives me crazy. Anyway, not a big deal. Here's the game I've been playing that has been taking up a bunch of my time lately. And it's a game called Particle Mace, which sounds crazy. I know.
So I want to sing it almost.
I wish I could describe this better and I'll try the best I can, but it's using like, it's not vector graphics, but it's very like chat room. You can see this here. It's very
Vector-esque.
It's just old, you know, it looks like an old game on purpose. It's somewhere between, how do I compare?
Yeah, looks like Asteroids.
Yeah. Something between Asteroids and actually the hard part is explaining after that what happens because there's nothing quite like this, but you use this little circle at the bottom that you just move your thumb around. One touch control is all. Mm-hmm. And you move your thumb around and it flies your ship. Behind your ship are, right now I have a ship that has five, some have more, some have bigger, whatever, these five balls on strings hanging off the back of your ship. And they're elasticy and there's physics going on. So if you if you fly really hard, so your elastic balls will fly that way and so on.
So basically you're a motorboat and you're trying to get the water skier that you've got that you're pulling to smash into stuff.
Yeah, you're trying, basically that'd be a funner game now that you put it that way, but you smack it into these asteroid-like things, into these enemy ships. You're trying to be smart about how you swing them around. So if you swing just right, it takes out three or four in a row and you get a big bonus for that. It's a really great pick it up and just go kind of thing. And it's just kind of mindless, but also there's some, you know, you feel like there's some decent arcade kind of strategy in there. I think it's really well done. It's like $2.
$2.99.
I don't mind paying for games anymore. All this free to play stuff just makes me want to kick somebody. So I'm happy to
charge me $2.99, take out the ads. I'm with you.
Yeah. Like, it's not that big a deal. I spend more time being frustrated than I would the money's worth. So
I'm not going to be able to buy it because with my credit card getting stolen, I haven't updated my credit card information into Apple iTunes yet.
Yeah, that's not good. I didn't know your card got stolen. Did you tell us about that?
Yeah, I talked about it yesterday morning.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, well, it was just used. Somebody tried to use it in the Netherlands at a leather store.
And, oh, you did mention that.
Yeah.
I didn't. I guess we didn't follow up to see how much canceling he had to do. I guess it's automatic.
And I have my card in my hand. My card right here. My old card that I could even show the number online because, you know, whatever. Yeah. This is a dead card.
Yeah.
But I did just get my new card today, so I need to go around to some of the emergency stuff so that when I go down to Albuquerque, I'll still be able to get stuff.
Oh, that's right. You're traveling, and you got to have that. Are you flying or driving? What's your deal?
Driving.
Drive. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How far is that? What's the distance?
7 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all. No.
That's further for me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Albuquerque is straight south of Denver.
I cannot wait to see if you end up getting pictures of like Walter White type stuff.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go around to all the stuff, like, you know, the car wash, if it's still there, and the
everything but the house, right? You're not going to do the house.
Not going to do the house. And we're not going to eat at Garduno's, but because apparently it's super touristy.
I bet it is.
And they make the guacamole right at the table for you at awkward times.
what a great scene that was. So are you going to go, are you tempted at least to just drive down that street and see what's
kind
going on?
I am, yeah.
Just to see. I mean, you don't have to stop. You're just a neighbor driving through. You know, hey, everybody.
But see, if everybody does that, then again, yeah, then they've got a problem with people driving down their street.
But then you could totally play it up and put your arm out the window and go, God, come on, you guys, let these people live in peace. I'm just trying to get to my house.
Right. As I've got three people in the passenger seat and the back seats taking pictures
with their cameras up. Yeah. All right. That may not go well. All right. Well, there's your two apps to recommend this week. Check out Particle Mace. $2.99 on the App Store. It is not available on an Android, I don't think. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Let's see. Particle Mace. It is not on Android, but maybe will be coming. But yours that you picked, Shades, is available on iOS and Android. Go check it out. And is that thing free or is it cost? I don't remember now.
I think it was free. I think Shade was free.
Shade's free. Let me just double
check. They don't have any ads or anything in it, so maybe not.
Let's see. Simple puzzle game. Oh, $1.99. $2.
No, $1.99. There you go.
It's worth it. You don't want all stupid ads. You don't want a bunch of free to play. Would you like to have a different shade of green for $1? No. No, I wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't want that. All right. Baz Luhrmann, what do you say?
How much possibility lay before you?
All right, buddy. Thanks. Still going on.
I can't wait for you to listen to that. Right. So excited to hear what you think.
I'm excited. I'm going to check it out. I may have a new respect for the guy. Mm-hmm. All right. We got some TMS, Ask TMS questions. These have come to us all week at the hashtag Ask TMS on Twitter. And we're going to finish out the show today, the TMS PM edition of the show, by reading some of these questions.
Yay.
And one of them asked this, Robert O'Neill McMahon. McMahon, ooh. Sorry. Says Zelda or Mario? I think they meant Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
Zelda or Mario? Gun to your head, Brian. Zelda or Mario? Which way do you go?
I think Mario. As diverse as the Zelda games can be, and have a really good different feel to them, there's something just like going home about the Mario games.
I agree with you 100%. The reason that Wii U is so comfortable for me right now is because Mario is on it, and that game is badass. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm with you. Mario is what we say. And I don't know about this Zelda game you're talking about, Robba. let's see. We got here one. Could you, if you could hop into a DeLorean and erase one embarrassing moment from your past, what moment would it be? I always, this is Rob Korb. I like how these guys are always trying to get us to drop the deets on some horrible thing we did when we were younger.
Right. Jeez. Do you have one like while I'm thinking?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay, I got it.
All right.
If I could go back in time, I would reschedule a date I made. I've talked about the story partly, but I would reschedule a date I made with this absolutely gorgeous 6'4" model-y looking girl I knew in high school, who I met, asked her to go on a date with me, super nervous about it, went to pick her up, and my dad was supposed to let me use the 300ZX, okay, because he had a brand new black turbo T-roof 300Z, mm-hmm. Shiny black car, beautiful car, he just picked up at auction in California. I was supposed to drive that. Last minute, something came up, and he couldn't do it, and I had to take, and I'm not kidding, I had to take... Oh, no, what are they called? Now my brain is... Oh, the Yugo. We had a Yugo. Because he also had that at auction. And he says, it'll run fine. It's fine. I'm like, Dad, I'm 6'2". This girl's 6'4". We're in the tiniest car ever made. It's a piece of crap. It looks like garbage. I can't believe you're making me do this. Oh, now, son, beggars can't be choosers, blah, blah, blah. So I took her out on that car. And when I went to make a turn on our way to where we were going to go eat, the steering wheel came off.
Oh, my God.
It popped off and the car drifted into the curb. So if I could go back, I would, and I feel like the whole date just sucked after that. We figured out how to get it back on, and we got out of there. I took her home, but it just sucked. If I could go back and change anything, I would say I'd go back and cancel the date and tell her we needed to do it the next weekend and got a better car. So there's mine. That's one of my most embarrassing moments.
Wow. That I would erase. Gosh, yeah, that would be.
Yeah, that sucked. All right, what would you do?
Golly, I can't think of anything. I mean, probably the closest thing, when Tina and I started dating, there were some issues with an ex-girlfriend that seemed to cause some problems for us. And at one point, I actually broke up with Tina.
All right. I remember hearing about this.
Yes. And I felt horrible. I mean, you know, I broke her heart.
Yeah.
It was just such a dick. But
imagine that, you guys. So Brian was a dick at some point in his life.
Exactly. So I'd probably go back and not break up with Tina. You know, the end result will probably be the same.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, you know, maybe it was realizing what I lost that made me make sure to make the relationship work. Who knows?
It could have. Or maybe you doing that and having regret proves that ultimately you're not a dick.
Same. Right. Oh, right. Exactly. But see, I would have a real hard time. Let's say somebody said, hey, here's a time machine. You can go back and do whatever you want. Right.
Yeah.
I would be really worried that I would screw something up and make things worse for not just my life, but mankind.
Yeah, all the other stuff like Homer and his toaster. Remember that episode? That was an important moment. We need to learn from that. Squish a bug and ruin everything.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, those are ours. Our two embarrassing things. But I don't know. The thing with her, that car, I was so pissed at my dad. Ugh. Anyway, somebody named Benjamin Heish asks, why do you prefer using your own IRC instead of Twitch chat for live shows? The answer, and I've told him, I already answered him on Twitter, but I'll just say again, because Twitch chat is toxic soup and people are real wieners in there and they're not necessarily part of our community. People can kind of walk in there and walk out of there anytime they want and be total buttholes, and we don't have any moderation choices in there.
Right.
And I can't stop and check it and boot people and things while I'm doing a show. So that's the only reason. I like Twitch a lot, but their chat rooms are terrible.
Yeah, there's so much flexibility with the IRC that, you know, that means you don't have to be on the Twitch page, right? You could be listening to the Alpha Geek stream and then have the IRC on a separate app.
It's, yep.
I think, so much easier.
I agree with you. How about this one? Marcus Hall says, favorite fantasy book series? He really likes the Brandon Sanderson Stormlight Archive and also Erickson's Malazan. I don't know what that is. Mm. Anyway, your favorite fantasy book series, Brian? Do you have one?
Boy, it's not really. I mean, I guess a series. Harry Potter would probably be the closest thing to it. Mm. There's lots of different fantasy books I've really enjoyed. A lot of Neil Gaiman stuff, like Neverwhere. Oh, yeah. And
did you read American Gods? By
American
chance?
Gods, yes. I never read the pseudo sequel. Was it
Anansi Boys?
Yeah, never read that.
I didn't either. But I love American Gods in unholy ways. I think that is a fantastic book.
That's so good.
Can't wait for that series. Isn't it HBO got it or somebody like that?
Yeah. Right. We should be seeing that anytime now, right? Or at least getting more information about it.
I hope so, dude. That was so good. Love that book. Well, for me, it's the Dark Tower series from Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. You do just like that. I know you like those a lot.
Love them. And they are fantasy books. Some people think they're, at first glance, you might go, oh, is this like a Western? Nope. I mean, there's Western influences for sure. But
right, of course. The main guy's called the Gunslinger,
he's
right?
He's basically a gunslinger, but it's set in this time and place that is so fantasy-driven. There's magic. There's all this. It's awesome. What a freaking great series. Now, some may say it gets a little weird and loses its way after 4. I would kind of agree. It gets a little funky, especially when he starts writing himself into the story. It's just very odd. I don't like when authors do that. But it's a hell of a ride. And I'll tell you, books 1 through 4 are special. Hell of a thing. Even 3, which a lot of people don't like 3. All right. How about this one? What is the worst book you've ever read? Says Glenn Probst. I don't think I ever get far enough to say. If I don't like what I'm reading, I just don't finish it.
Let's see. The last book that I didn't finish because I just wasn't enjoying it was Anderson Punty's, what was it? It's like Total Filth or Complete Filth or something. Mm. He's the guy who wrote Trainspotting.
Oh, yeah.
And
Filth is that. And they made a movie about that.
Did they? Okay.
With McElroy. The new Professor X was in it. I think it's based on that. It's very Scottish, very...
Really? Okay.
Hardcore, punky.
Yeah,
looking.
I did not enjoy the book.
Okay. That's interesting because you really like Trainspotting.
I really like Trainspotting, and I really like the book Trainspotting. I read that one too and really enjoyed it, but did not like Filth.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I didn't like, but I will fully admit this is more about me than the book, okay? But okay. I tried to read the Dune series, and I ran out of steam. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's too much.
It is too much, yeah. I think that you'd probably do better these days reading it. Or how long ago was it that you...
It was a few years ago is all.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So you'd been prepped by all the George R. R. Martin stuff, which I think is just as long and detailed.
I would agree, but I don't know why that stuff's easier for me to read because I've read all those. You know what it is? It's the... We saw it for Film Sack, right? And I think that's when I thought I was going to try it.
Oh, okay. I was right about then. Wow.
Yeah, I picked it up, tried to read it, got pretty deep, and then went, bleh. I just couldn't do it. There was too much... it's too just bleh, flowery talk about nothing. Like I just feel like, at least with Game of Thrones, it's all... So-and-so walked in wearing a crimson sword and a freaking blubbity blue, and it's all very detailed, but they're telling you everything in ways I understand. It's not just mumbo-jumbo. There's right. a lot of mumbo jumbo in the Dune books.
I will admit that I had the same thing happen with the second book of Game of Thrones. And oh, I think it is just me because I need to, I do want to go back and try it again and
I loved
get through
two.
It. And
did you yeah. read book one as well?
Yeah. Loved book one.
Yeah. Book three
is my
favorite.
I don't know why book two didn't hold the same steam. Oh, you know what else? Something even more recent that I didn't enjoy and left the book halfway through.
What's that?
Was the third Hunger Games book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just got so bored with it.
Well, are you at all looking? Well, I guess we're in the middle of that final book now, right? In the movies?
We're in the middle of that. Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing
the big ending.
Seeing how it ends.
Yeah.
Me and Philip Seymour Hoffman left the series about the same time, halfway yeah. through the third book.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know. It's funny because some of the books, you know, people are going to give me a hard time over the Dune thing, but I can't help it, dude. That thing was a snore job. Mm-hmm. All right, we got a final question here. This one from somebody who says, "Oh, this is Jay Hammond C."
Oh,
he says, "Have you watched The League?"
Yes,
I haven't. What is that?
The League is a comedy show with, was it Phil Schur? The guy. Kind of looks like David Cross, but with a bigger space between his two front teeth.
Nick Kroll, I think is his name.
Nick Kroll. No, that's another guy.
Oh, he looks like David Cross a little bit.
Then maybe that's the guy. Nick Kroll? No.
Not Mark Duplass, not Jonathan LaJoie.
No, keep going through the cast.
How about Stephen Renasny?
No.
How about Paul Scheer? Oh, Paul Scheer,
Paul Scheer, that's
He's
what
got
I'm
the big
of.
Gap. Yeah, there he is.
Yeah. Tell me he doesn't look like David Cross.
He looks like a young David Cross, yeah. Weird. No, I haven't seen this at all.
I watched the first few episodes, and I thought it was fun, but I couldn't get into it. I'm not a big sports guy, and you know, the comparison of saying, well, he's not a sports guy who doesn't like the league, it's like saying, no, I don't watch Sons of Anarchy because I don't like motorcycles, or right. I don't watch Breaking Bad because I don't smoke meth.
Sure, sure.
It's yeah. a very different thing.
Sure. It's probably, is it a comedy? It's like,
it's a 30-minute comedy, and it's...
Okay. But like, Friday Night Lights was a drama that had football in it. You didn't have to right. love football right. to love Friday Night Lights. It's probably
good,
the same
good
thing.
Good comparison yeah. right there, yes.
All right. Well, good luck to everyone who has not seen The League. I guess it's out now on what? I guess it's on Netflix, actually, it looks like. FX series. There you go. I don't know any of these people, though. None of these people are ringing a bell to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know
Nick
any of these
Kroll
names.
Has he's got a comedy show that, The Kroll Show. You totally know Nick Kroll.
Do I know him?
Yes.
He's in lots of things.
Yes, you know Nick Kroll.
Kroll Show? I've never seen that. That's on now. What else?
He was the douche in
Parks and Recreation
the
douche.
DJ.
Okay, now I know who that is. Okay.
Right.
I don't know why I haven't seen hardly anything else with a minute, but there you go. All right. Yeah. Well, good luck to the league. And thank you all for submitting your questions. That's #AskTMS. Hashtag is what I mean to say. So,
it's tic tac toe symbol, #AskTMS. Enter.
Is exactly right. We'll do more of these next week for a PM edition of that show. Brian is going to out of town this weekend, so that'll be fun. No film sack, we should remind people this weekend.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Well, everyone needs a break once in a while. It's all good. If you'd like to help us out and keep this Thursday edition of the show happening in the afternoon, support us at patreon.com/TMS. You can find us online at frogpants.com/TMS. Our email address is themorningstream@gmail.com, and on Twitter, find us at morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville, and we are at The End Point. Do you want to play music now?
Yes.
Yay! Go for it.
This one comes to us from Peter Fisher, who I think is actually, if it's the same Peter Fisher, this guy's been kicking my butt on Trivia Crack. Mm. I think we played 6 games, and I think he's won all of them.
All right.
Stupid game. Probably Googling.
It's kind of made for you,
Peter
though,
Fisher,
yeah,
Googler. Well,
I hate the feeling of never knowing. You just don't know.
Yes.
Anyway.
Listen, and it's totally fine if you're a person who does Google and plays that way on Trivia Crack. That's totally fine. Just don't play me.
Yeah, don't play Brian.
Because I want the challenge. I want to feel like we're really competing.
Yeah, there's a reason you do all this trivia. It isn't because you like questions about stuff.
Yeah, All right. I want to see how much I know about Michael Phelps and noble gases.
All right, fair enough.
All right. Hey, Brat and Scrim, on Friday the 6th, I will receive a stamp showing the completion of my 44th circumvention of the sun. Phew, it's getting hard to come up with more convoluted ways of saying birthday in this group. Anyway, birthday, mine, Friday. And what do I want to hear? Even though lots of people think of these guys as a novelty act, there's a long history of bluegrass / newgrass bands covering pop songs, hundreds of Beatle covers alone. I'd like to hear from Hazy Dixie's new release, Hair Down to My Grass. It's a collection of 70s and 80s rock standards, including covers of Journey, Bon Jovi, Twisted Sister, Bryan Adams, and Pink Floyd, just to name a few. I'd like to hear their cover of The Scorpions' Wind of Change in the original German. No over-the-top, cheesy, tongue-in-cheek bravado. Just a sweet, tender cover. Thanks. Love the Mobo bro, though, Joe. Peter, a.k.a. Boris TLH, from Tadpool's Saturday Night Cards Against Humanity.
All right. Fair enough.
So, yes, brand new album just came out last month from Hazy Dixie. And he's right. You know, usually there are songs where they do tend to go over the top. Pooh, not in this case. Mm-hmm. They keep it pretty true and close to the original. And they do this great cover of the Scorpions' Wind of Change called Wind der Veränderung.
Wind der Veränderung. Yeah.
Exactly. That's the one.
The guitarist has two necks on the guitar. The Azza Scorpions. I love those guys.
Yeah, yeah. So bring out your German translation books and follow along.
On the album cover, a man does have forks in his eyes. Yeah. Do you remember that album? Do you remember that thing? It was awesome.
No.
Oh, it was great.
Yes. Right, he's getting pushed through a glass pane.
Yeah, and he had two forks.
Two forks in like taped in his eye. Like, yes, I totally know.
What the hell was that about? I still to this day don't know what was going on there. All right, here it is.
Oh, you've just given me an idea for great cosplay.
Oh.
I want to be the guy from that album.
You could do it. You're bald. He was bald.
He had hair. He had hair and a mustache.
He's
didn't
a bald.
He?
Well, no, not the guy in that cover. I don't think. Was he?
Yeah, I think he had hair.
One of my favorite songs is on that album. It's Arizona. I love that song. It's a great song. Go check that album out. People like Spotify it or something. It's an amazing album. You forget how good that was. Forks in the eyes and all.
I know why you think he's bald. He's wearing a bandages on his head.
Oh, that's right. Like a kind of a war veteran looking bandage.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. It's been a while. Wasn't there a car in the front of there too? Like a little car?
No, it's okay. All just his face, glass, mustache, bandages on his head, pane of glass, screaming.
There's no one like you. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, here it is. It's Winder Verdehung, and we'll see you guys Monday.
It's five, try, reasoning set. Must war, bis hinunter zum Gorki Park, während ich den Wind, der von Änderung zu hören. Eine Sommernacht im August, Soldaten laufen vorbei, hören den Wind, der von Änderung zu hören. Hast du je gedacht, dass wir uns so nah wie Brüder sein können? Die Zukunft liegt in der Luft, ich kann sie überall spüren, wie sie mit dem Wind der Veränderung zusammenweht. Bring mich zu Magie des Augenblicks in einer Ruhe. Reichen Nacht, wo die Kinder von morgen herumträumen, im Wind der Veränderung. Ich laufe die Straße hinunter, keine Erinnerungen sind für immer in der Vergangenheit begraben. Ich folge der Moskva bis hinunter zum Gorki Park, während ich den Wind der Veränderung zuhöre. Bring mich zur Magie des Augenblicks in einer ruhreichen Nacht, wo die Kinder von morgen ihre Träume mit dir und mir teilen. Der Wind der Veränderung bläst direkt ins Ausgesicht der Zeit, wie ein Sturm, der die Glocke der Freiheit läuten wird. Lass deine Balalaika singen, was meine Gitarre sagen möchte. Vor die Kinder von morgen ihre Träume im Wind der Veränderung.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
That guy on Twitter lied.